Raising Playful Tots, show number 119. Thank you for joining me for another episode of Raising Playful Tots. I'm glad that you could stop by today. My name is Melitza. Welcome to the Play Space. It's here that we focus on play that we want to see and experience in our homes. We cover play-related topics to inspire, teach, challenge, and lead us to have a great time with these kids so that we can introduce a new play idea. If you're new to the show, welcome, and hi to the regular playmates. There's plenty of room, so come join us as we create an easy baby play space for 6 to 18 month olds, inspired by Montessori and Reggio, thanks to a post by theimaginationtree.com. Last week's show, I shared an interview with Annie of alphabetglue.com, sharing her literacy magazine and the ins and outs about her life raising two children. So if you missed that one, pop on over to the blog where you can listen to that show and find the archive of all the shows at www.raisingplayfultots.com/shows. This week's show, I'm talking to Deborah of Learn With Play at Home about play dates. We're covering play activities, toy recommendations, what to do when something goes wrong. While you're listening, check out her site, learnwithplayathome.com. I hope that you'll stick around. Thanks. I'll be right back after this short break. You can listen to Raising Playful Tots while you're on the move by choosing Stitcher. Stitcher is a free app available for your smartphone. Downloading this app is really quick and easy. Enter TOTS, that's T-O-T-S, during registration to be entered to win in their monthly draw. Then you'll receive the latest episode right there waiting for you of Raising Playful Tots. Not just that, but you can discover hundreds of other popular new shows. You can find all of this by visiting stitcher.com/tots. That's stitcher.com/tots. Today I'm talking to Deborah, number one in the top 25 of Teacher Mum blogs, an Australian primary school teacher currently on family leave with her preschool age daughter and 12-month-old son. She is loving staying at home and playing with the kids while also following her passion for sharing, creating, writing and learning. These things all come together at her play-based learning blog called learnwithplayathome.com. Welcome to the show, Deborah.
Thanks very much. Thanks for having me.
Well, I invited you onto the show to talk about play dates today for the under fives, because in many places it's really informal at the school or nursery gate. Children go home with each other and it's just a really informal thing. And at other times it can become this complex diary forecasting on the phone event, planning weeks in advance to coordinate schedules. And you wrote a super post called How to Host a Perfect Play Date, which I'll link to in the show notes. So I thought you'd be perfect to talk to us about play dates.
Oh, thank you.
So let's talk a little bit about how do you organise a play date?
Well, look, that's probably changed over the years, definitely. We first started play dates pretty much from when my first daughter was born. So we joined a mother's group. Do you guys have that?
Yes.
You've got mother's groups, or I'm sure they'd be all over the world. Mm-hmm. Joined one of those and then, you know, did the normal group thing and catching up and doing that, and then decided, obviously, to carry that on. So a particular group of us from that thought that we'd carry on and have regular play dates for our kids so that they could, you know, continue to socialise and all that. Most people were new mums, so they had time off work. They didn't really have other commitments. We were able to just schedule in, you know, an actual a day, a time, and it was just set. And so it was a weekly thing. We would catch up all the time then. Unfortunately, after probably about the first year, that's when people started, you know, some people started having to go back to work. People were doing part-time, so everybody's hours changed around. People started having new babies, all of that, so routines were, you know, all up in the air. So at the moment, we do still catch up, and I still catch up with the same group of kids from then. So our children are almost 4 years old now. They've been playing since around about 6 weeks old. And now it's a lot more flexible. We definitely catch up at least once a week, probably just through emails or SMSs, trying to figure out with the weather and all that sort of stuff, but just, yeah, doing it that way.
So it sounds as if it's really been quite organic. It's just changed over time. There was never a set period where you always did something the one way.
We actually ended up, because we did do the, you know, going to and from people's houses and all of that, and it became a little bit complicated with a larger group, with a whole lot of people, that was starting to get trickier to organise. And not only that, but finding people that were willing to actually have a large group of people over at their house, or everybody
yes.
getting together. So that was a bit difficult. So what we actually ended up doing, we've got sort of play group associations here that you can, you know, they've got their websites and all of that. And they have a whole lot of play groups, you know, all across the country or all across the state where you can either join that, go along to that, or there's venues that you can then hire or set a particular time for, host your own play group, so it doesn't need to be structured, you don't have to have leaders or anything like that, and you go along there each week, and so it's an actual building that has all toys and supplies and all of that stuff. So we actually did that with the kids for probably about a year and a half. So we did have an actual set venue that we went to the same time, same date every week, and whoever could come on that day would come, and that's the way that it worked. And it was actually probably easier than what we do now with the flexible see how you go, because you know how it is, the week gets away and it's,
yes.
you know, it can become a bit hard, like, oh no, it's almost Monday, we don't want to catch up on Monday, you know, it's Sunday night, oh, we haven't organised anything, so you've got to sort of get onto it then. But if it's important to you, which it certainly is to us, I mean, it's not that big a deal.
Right.
So we just kind of go with the flow at the moment, and I think you have to be prepared to do that because lives and family dynamics and everything change so quickly over the years.
Yeah, that makes perfect sense. So let's just start talking about the actual play date itself. Imagine that you're having a play date at home and you mm-hmm. need to invite a few friends around, or maybe it's one particular child to play with your child or children. So there's yeah. a few rather than a big group. Can you describe a few of your play dates, what they would look like?
We tend to mix them up a bit. We have a variety of structured and unstructured play dates. An example of a structured play date, so this is where I've actually thought up a specific activity or I have a particular plan in mind for what I want the kids to achieve, would be a Play-Doh play date. So that's where I had the kids all come over. There was four of us, four kids, and they made their own Play-Doh, so had a bit of cooking to begin with. You've got to be obviously quite organised if you're going to do that with young children, but that was a really fun day. They really enjoyed having the hands-on aspect of actually getting to make the Play-Doh themselves. They saw the process, you know, obviously all the learning experiences that come with cooking and the communication and the talking and all of that. And then obviously they were more excited than ever to play with Play-Doh because they'd made it and they'd gotten to colour it, and they each had their own, you know, colour that they'd been able to choose and had that, and we had a whole lot of materials set out. So it was practically the whole play date was centred around this Play-Doh and making that and playing with that. So that's a sort of more structured play date that we've had. And then we also have just really a lot of free play type ones, especially if it's good weather. We'll try and get them outside as much as possible. They really need to burn that energy. It's great for them and it's great for us as parents as well that they're getting a bit of that energy out, much easier to deal with later on. So we actually took them to the skate park with their scooters and, yeah, they had a good fun time playing together, you know, running around. They help each other out on the equipment, all of that, and we're able to just kind of stay in a central location. All the mums can have a chat and be able to keep your eye on all the kids at the same time as well. So there are a couple of our play dates.
No, they sound good. And it sounds as if you go quite regularly. You said maybe once a week that you meet up for the big group play dates. And
yes.
you've already mentioned that you go out. Play dates aren't just confined to the home. You have some at home and you go outdoors to other places because of the weather as well.
Yeah, Yes, absolutely. At the moment, we're probably, I mean, we meet up with friends a minimum of once a week, sometimes up to three times a week, and that won't necessarily be with the same group of kids. Sometimes they are play dates that are just, you know, just invite one friend around, or, you know, these days kids have so many different social groups, really. There's lots of opportunities for that. So we have our sort of mother's group, play group, you know, regular catch-up thing, and then also during the week we try and sometimes catch up with, you know, some of our other friends that have children or kids from Tinder, that sort of thing.
Yeah, well, that makes absolute sense. So what is your ideal play date? So if you were thinking of a good play date, what would you expect? What elements would you expect to plan? Because I know lots of people are curious to how other people do play dates. So tell us what your ideal play date would be.
Very, very best play date that you can actually do with kids is a bright, sunny day, take them to a great park and let them run. There's sort of nothing better than kids being out in nature and getting to, you know, experience that running wild, exploring, using their senses, gross motor skills, all of that. I really think there's not much better. The problem is, obviously, weather doesn't always allow for that.
Yeah.
The other day we did go out, I mentioned going to the skate park. It wasn't the best day, you know. It certainly wasn't a bright, sunny day in that. But generally, so long as it's not absolutely pouring down, we're still prepared to try and let them get outside anyway, because any time that they can spend outside is really valuable time. On the times when it's not such great weather, we sometimes go to play centres. All of that climbing and playing, all of those, they generally cost money, or here anyway. So
yes,
that's something. We don't go to them every week because you've got to sort of think about everybody else's pocket. And we also find in those centres, in where I live anyway, you're not allowed to bring in any outside food or anything like that. So it's generally a more expensive day because you've got to pay to get them in. If you start having siblings, you know, it can add up a little bit more. And then you've got to generally buy them food, and they don't have the best food at those things.
No.
So they always, and the kids know that as well, and you're not going to get away with being able to buy them a basic sandwich when they know that all they want is nuggets and chips there. So that's something, you know, we don't go to them as, you know, all that often, but there certainly are days where everybody's house is in a mess or something like that. Just nobody can bear the thought of having 5-4-year-olds descending upon their house, which is fair enough. So we definitely have that as a reserve for something that we can always just get them out. They can still be burning lots and lots of energy, having a great time exploring and playing, and we don't have to worry about the weather.
Yeah.
Otherwise, if you can have them at your own house and, you know, it's a not such a great day so they can't be outside, I think probably the best thing to do would be generally letting them have free play. So leave it as the majority, unstructured, letting them explore. Let's not forget that, you know, to most of these children, everything is new. You know, all the toys that you have at your house are, to them, you know, all new and exciting again. But I would definitely have just a couple of activities up your sleeve, or even create a few sort of invitations to play where you can redirect the energy if you need to. If things aren't going well, which they're kids, you know, that definitely happens, having something that you can go, oh, have a look at this. Come on, guys, let's go and do this. Or being able to take, you know, a few of them away or suddenly set up a table full of, you know, drawing supplies or something like that, just somewhere for them to redirect their energy and maybe have a bit of quiet time or time that's not so full on with all the others, because it can be full on for little kids.
Yes, I like the way you said that, directing activities and invitations to play, because there is this high energy that happens at the moment kids are together. They're just so excited that their friends are here that you can feel the energy in that room from the very beginning. And that's where their baseline is. So it just only ever gets higher than that.
Yes.
And so you really have to be able to bring them down gently before hysteria takes in, and then they get upset with each other. And so you kind of want
fights and tantrums.
Yes.
And, you know,
you want that wave, don't you, where they can kind of enjoy themselves together, but then they need a calming activity, and then they need something that brings the energy back up, but this kind of wave that goes on. But you do have to have, as I would call them, back pocket ideas, like you mentioned. Yes. So let's talk a little bit about activities. What activities would you say are good? Obviously, you're not going to have all of these, but do you have like a list of activities that you would say, okay, these are the types of things maybe we would do on a play date in the home?
Yep, absolutely. Look, obviously, it depends where you are and you know what supplies you do have. But at my house, look, some of the activities that the kids like to do are things like dress up, imaginative play, anything that has to do with pretending to be someone else, especially an adult and what adults do, because they absolutely love that. And you don't need really fancy costumes, you know, or anything like that. You can, you know, whip a little apron on them or give them a hat or something like that. They can make little paper hats, you know. It really doesn't need to be fancy because really it's the child using their imagination.
Super.
So things, and yes, all the little boys are fairies running around with the dollies and that, and they're... It's just a really great time. So they play things like doctors, builders. You get out cardboard boxes for them. Emergency services, they love that.
Being the
fireman or the policeman or the ambulance driver or something like that. All these basic professions that they know. Obviously, imaginative play, so fabulous for their communication and just talking and working together. So and with that imaginative play, things like kitchens, they love playing in a play kitchen, pretend play foods, all of that. Playing mums and dads, once again, the boys like all getting dolls and prams, all of that. Play-Doh is a fabulous one. It's, you know, sensory, they can manipulate it. All you need to do is, you know, put it out, throw a couple of different tools down. Each time they come around, put a few different things out. It's sort of, once again, talking about those creating invitations to play. You're not saying to the child, play with this Play-Doh and stick these craft sticks in it. It's just there. There's Play-Doh there. There's various different things each time. And it just draws them in. They can't help themselves but go over to it and want to see, what is this set up there? You know, I just want to have a go and manipulate it all.
But it's very similar to when they're at preschool or nursery, that they have stations or tables, don't they, where they have things already set up for when they arrive.
So children, and look, there's a reason that they set it up like that.
Yes, exactly.
Because that's what works. Yes. And it really does for those age. And, I mean, obviously I'm talking play dates for sort of those that, you know, are not quite at school age, because that's the age of my children at the moment. Mm-hmm. And they're obviously going to be different when they are at school and they're having their play dates after school and that. But, I mean, at the moment, definitely having little stations or, just little things like that. So similar to a childcare centre or a play kindergarten or whatever you call them.
Yes.
I also do things like set up a craft table. So just big sheets of paper with some glue and different things to stick down, like scraps of paper even. You know, it doesn't even have to be anything fancy. They love gluing, they love sticking, and because it's there, it'll just draw them in.
Yeah.
A sticky easel, that's a really fun one.
What's a sticky easel?
I've got a little bit of that on my blog. It's a really good way for kids to, you know, have a fun activity that's actually mess-free. So you can make a sticky easel or a sticky table or something, and basically all it is, it's inexpensive, easy to set up. So basically, it's just a piece of contact paper and you just tape that sticky side up. And contact paper, I think, in the UK might also be called sticky-backed paper.
Yes, yes.
I think I've heard that before. I had a few things when I put up contact paper. But it really doesn't cost much. Use it to bind your books, all of that. Mm-hmm. But just stick it with the sticky side up anywhere, on a window, on an easel, on a table, and children can just stick things onto it, and you can just sort of put anything next to it to let them explore with it, be it, you know, some strings and ribbons, blocks, pipe cleaners, bottle caps, anything sort of. They will really enjoy that one, and it's a good mess-free activity as well.
Mm-hmm.
Things like building, depending on the age, obviously, if they're a bit older, get out some Legos. You know, children really enjoy that. We play a lot of Duplo, a lot of blocks, a lot of building. I often have a station of that set out, and I usually put it on a separate blanket or a mat so that that way it's almost giving it a sort of a boundary, its own little boundary as to where this is where we're playing with the blocks. And you don't really need to tell children that, but they can see that it's within this mat, and it also makes it easier for packing up. Definitely outside if we can. We've got lots of play, you know, kids play equipment, all of that. We also have a playroom, so with it's actually got an inside swing and stuff, so we're actually a little bit lucky at our house.
Wow, yes.
So there's always a time of trying to get the children to burn off energy. It's that redirection again. They might be playing and they're doing this, and as soon as things start to feel like they're just getting a bit heated or they're starting to have those arguments, just stop them, redirect. Come on, guys, let's go have a run around outside, or quick, everyone downstairs, let's go and do this, and just kind of get them to burn off a little bit of energy. We do drawings, so just setting out, it's so simple, just set out a tub of textures and a big sheet of paper and they can all draw together. The next time, put out some oil pastels and lots of different coloured pieces of paper and they'll just be drawn to it just to have a go.
Yes. That sounds good.
Do you want more ideas?
No, that's a really nice long list. And what I liked about the list is that it gives you ideas, because I know that you wouldn't do all of those activities. You would pick and choose one, two, three maybe, or even none. But the idea is that you watch and see as the afternoon or the session progresses, and then you intervene with something. And even while they're doing an activity, you can think, let me set up the Play-Doh over here, or let me do this over there because I think they need to calm down, or they're beginning to roll around on the floor when they could be doing something else or being disruptive over here. And so that's what I like about all those activities, is that we need a bank, don't we, a list of activities that we can just kind of go to help us get through the whole session, that everybody feels okay.
If you don't think about it beforehand, that's when you'll find yourself getting flustered. So being prepared is actually pretty important. Just having a little think about it. Who am I inviting over? How old are these kids? Generally you sort of know the children that you're inviting over. You get a basic idea and, all right, if they're a four-year-old boy, these are sort of generally the things that they might be interested in. So having a few things that, you have got in your mind already is going to save you a lot of hassle at the time when you're in the midst of that moment that something's being thrown across the room and there's this tantrums and these fights. It's very hard to think on the spot then and to suddenly be like, come and do this, go,
Yes.
So just a little bit of preparation. It's not a big deal, and it's not something that people have to put a huge amount of time into.
Yeah.
Some people do, and they're incredible.
Yes,
you can.
A lesson plan.
You can put lots of time in. But it doesn't have to be, that's it.
No,
it doesn't
exactly
have to be hard.
And it gets easier as you go along. The more you do it, the more easier you find that you can just add activities in, especially if you've got an organised home for play. It doesn't mean that you have a tidy home, but it means that you...
And it certainly isn't after the kids have been.
But at least when you know, let's get some paper out, you know where the paper is and where the pens are and where the glue is. And, that's half the battle, is being able to grab things as you need them to be able to use them as
that's
you
right.
need.
So, and, obviously if you're going to do anything like attempting to do some cooking with children or that, which, isn't really hard, just so long as you're organised. If you've got all the stuff out there and it's ready to go, it's not hard to have a few parents, hanging around and saying, all right, now tip this into here and, we'll just watch this. But if you are having to sort of fluff around and wait, just stay there till I get the flour out, children, just don't touch that, no, hang on, it's not going to work, and you're going to sort of end up flustered, and the kids are going to end up flustered, and you'll feel like it's a bit of a failure.
I know. Well, I want to move on to the difficulties that can sometimes happen between children. Now, they're very excited to be with their friends and right now, but then, almost the exact turn of the coin, all of a sudden, they're not liking each other. Something has happened. I don't know, maybe they've hit each other, bitten each other. They've just fallen out. There's just all of these things that happen, and I find that that's a big struggle. Is what do you do? How do you discipline your child, the other child? How do we get them back together? This often is a problem why people don't do play dates in the first place, because it feels like a minefield. How do you negotiate all of that? And then other parents are there to see you parenting, and you just think, I've said that.
And kids know as well. Obviously children, they're pretty smart from pretty early on. They know already that you're going to react a little bit differently to how they're acting when there's other people around. And they know that. And the reality is you're probably going to act slightly differently than what you would if you were completely alone. So sometimes it's your own kids that can push you more than other people's kids. When it comes to play dates, that can sometimes be hard. Prevention, if I can start with that. If children socialise, obviously, the earlier on they socialise and are learning these skills, such as sharing and compromise and taking turns and all of that, I do think it is going to be easier. Now, that being said, children change all the time, and this same group of kids that we've had going all the way through playing for 4 years together have been up and down and up and down, and you know, best friends one second and everything's great, and we've taught them all to share and they're all lining up at the slide and taking their wonderful little turns and it's heart melting, and then you know, fast forward a year or something like that, and they don't like each other anymore and they're not sharing, and this person called them silly. And so, you know, we definitely go through different stages with them, and I think just constantly reminding them of the expectations. I think talking to your child about what's going to happen before it happens is a good thing, letting them know, look, we've got these people coming around. How do we need to act? Giving them a strategy for if they're upset, if someone's mean to them or hurt them or done something, how should they act? Children really need those reminders, because then they've got something in place to be able to do that. Otherwise, they'll just go with whatever their initial reaction is, which most, you know, a lot of them is to scream or hit or, you know, something like that.
That's always been my problem with playdates with my children. We've done quite a few playdates, but not as many as they should have had. And that's partly because I'm always wondering how to tackle the problems of other people's children and how they react and what they do. I've got better at it as I've gone along, but because we haven't had a situation like you described where we've been with the same group of children for 4 years, we've moved every couple of years. And so we've lived in many homes in many places.
Yeah.
And so we come into situations all the time and we don't have the benefit of knowledge of...
That's right, knowing the background of the child or the, you know, the parenting methods.
And you don't want to be saying... You're not dismissing the other families. Just we're all at different stages. And sometimes we really just want to be able to talk about how things are going and say, oh, gosh, you're in the same boat too. My child never listens either. And you want to have these conversations yes. with the other people too. So you don't want to alienate these other parents either by saying...
Yes, and you don't want to be going on about their child.
No.
Oh, what are you doing with your child there? Why aren't you doing this? It is definitely a hard one. And there's been times, you know, when I'm with other people that... Yeah, perhaps we haven't had the same relationship where, you know, you sort of have to bite your tongue or you kind of just... I'm generally reasonably confident with children, being a primary school teacher. So usually if I see a child that sort of isn't my own, that's misbehaving, if, you know, if we're in a group setting and it's towards my child or the other children that are there, I'll sort of often go in and, oh, how's it going? And, you know, you just try and talk to them or deal with them the way that I would, I guess, as a
yes.
teacher, just... trying to see if you can kind of calm the situation, and maybe also giving the parent a little, you know, a little break, a little way of seeing, well, you know, this maybe is a different way of tackling it.
Exactly. That's a good way. That's a good way.
But once again, you've got to be careful with it, don't you? I mean,
yes.
There's no way I'd be going in and, oi, what are you doing here? And, you know, telling off another child or disciplining them or letting them do this. But if it seems like perhaps the parent is struggling, which I've seen in the past, sometimes, you know, there are children that are just being so defiant out in public and that you just feel for the parent. You're looking
yes.
at them going, oh, you poor thing. And, you know, you can see how embarrassed they are with that. So trying to redirect that, and often, I guess, involving my own child in that,
yes.
I'll, you know, perhaps say, oh, maybe, you know, they're having a bit of difficulty with this. What if you go over there and offer to help them out with this? So sometimes maybe getting the other kids involved, particularly my own child, who I, you know, I know, and
that will work.
I know that she understands and all that. But look, let me assure you, over the years, we've certainly had our issues, and we've had times that children have had to leave playgroup because they've just, you know, been over the top. And I think being able to set a good example with your own child, just showing people this is how I handle situations and giving, you know, fair warning that this is the way that we act when we're together.
Yes.
And this is not the way that we act, or, you know, we certainly don't do this with friends, and giving them warnings and letting them understand that if we can't play that way and if we can't play nicely and kindly and share and do that together, then unfortunately we can't play and we're just going to have to go home. And we have had kids who have had that threatened, and it sort of, didn't end up happening. And obviously, the child learns from that, well, actually, I can do whatever I want to do. You don't want to leave, but at the end of the day, you're doing more harm to your child by saying, threatening these things and not following through than just going, right, it's unfortunate, our playdate has ended early, but that's the way it has to be. And the good thing about then doing that is you can use that as a reminder every time.
Yes.
And we use it for the other children as well.
Yeah.
So, we all talk about, do you remember what happened with that? Why did they have to go home? Yes. Ooh, we wouldn't want that to happen to us, would we? No.
Yeah, it's brilliant. So, it's a good teachable moment, that is, to be able to remind children about how things are and to show them how things are too, because they just don't know. And this is the whole process, is to learn all these things as you go along. And so play dates actually give you an opportunity to have so many teachable moments for the kids as well as for us.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. And you do learn things. You see someone else doing it, someone go, oh, that's a good idea. Didn't think of that. I'll be putting that in next time. I actually heard a really good tip the other day, which I thought, I am using this next time. I was having a discussion about siblings and sharing, and this could be used with, friends and playdates and sharing as well. And they said that if there's a particular toy or something that they're arguing over and they won't share, that the toy goes into timeout. And I thought, oh, that's a good idea. I like that.
Yes.
I think the kids would love seeing the toy in time out there, and maybe that could give them it doesn't come into time out until they've figured out how they're going to, compromise and work together to actually share that toy. So that's a little nifty piece of advice that I heard the other day that I think I'll be giving a go myself.
That's
put
fabulous.
The toy in time out.
Well, you've talked a lot about activities that you can do, which is great. We've got lots of activity ideas now, I think. Is there any particular toys that you would say are really good? If you can give maybe up to three, if you have any toy recommendations that are really good play date material. Oh, you've mentioned Lego, I remember.
Yes. All right, there we go. So we'll go with Duplo, I'll go with Legos, particularly blocks. Puzzles can be really great. Mm-hmm. I actually know, just getting out some of the puzzles, it really depends obviously on the age, but if you have a variety of those at home and setting them out just on a table, just on their own, not leaving them in a box or something like that, children will generally want to go to them, and they will often find that they help each other with them. So
okay. That's
what I found with puzzles. This is actually a hard question for me because I actually stick away from really commercial toys and stuff. I generally don't actually discuss them in my blog that much because obviously, it's so different what everybody has everywhere. Things that involve problem solving and that are really open-ended, maybe something like a marble run.
Excellent.
Mm-hmm. Or something like that, where they can build and create together but make something different each time, and they've really got to use their brain and think about it.
It's nice to have lots of different ideas to think about how to use rather than just using the particular toys that you already have there at home in the box. You can actually be creative, and that's almost nicer. I know lots of parents find it really difficult when their kids want to do lots of paper creating and they can't do the same as what the kids are doing. But when you've got another child there, they can sit for hours together making post offices and doing stuff and like that together. So that's really cool.
Absolutely. And I tell you what, if the kids are engaged and they're just doing their own thing, my advice, just leave them be.
Yes.
Let them go. Watch their world. See what they're doing. It's a really interesting time.
Well, we're coming towards the end and we've talked about play dates and you've given us lots of ideas and inspiration to get going with these perfect play dates. So we've got the last bit now where I ask a few getting to know questions about you so that we can learn a little bit more about you. And so the first one is two actions that you've taken in the last 2 years that have had a positive effect on your life.
All right. Well, I guess one of them would be starting my blog. That's definitely had a positive effect on my life because of just all the obviously wonderful opportunities, including something like this. Getting to share what I'm doing and document it all has been really fabulous. So I've definitely enjoyed that. In the last 2 years, I had a baby about a year ago, so obviously that, but probably after that, I started up Pilates.
Oh!
And that was fabulous. I love it.
Wow, yeah. That's really good.
I don't
go
enough, but it's just, so fabulous to have that just little bit of time when it really is just me and I can just really, I don't know, focus on your body and all of that. I don't know.
Brilliant.
Feels nice. It's my little moment and I feel fabulous after it each week. So
yes.
Good for the mind and the body.
Excellent. That's brilliant. So what were you doing 12 years ago, which is the year 2000?
Years ago. This is funny. But in the year 2000, that was a pretty huge year for me, actually. It was my final year of high school.
Uh-huh.
So I was graduating high school that year, turning 18, getting my license, choosing a career in life.
Wow, yeah.
Picking uni things. Yeah, a pretty big year, I have to say.
Excellent. Wow, you did have a lot of things that you had to do in that year. Okay. So let's go with the favourite activity, the favourite play activity in your household at the moment, would you say?
It's probably been the same for the last few years, but it's 100% imaginative play at our house. We are in role play. Feels like more time we're in role play than we're, actually in reality. But we have a ball. My daughter is so many different characters. She has the most, amazing imagination, and you can't help but get swept away in it, even if you don't want to. I'm not playing. I'm not doing this thing, and she'll walk away and then come up to you and, Grandma, can I go to the thingy? You can't help yourself, but well, yes, dear. Then, hang on a minute. Start a time in role play again. All right, but we have a fabulous time with that. So many different scenarios, and it probably works out quite well for us because if there's ever a time when we ask our daughter to do something, pick up these things or help clean this up, and turn it into a role play. If you ask Sally, the fabulous cleaner, to pack up the room, she's as quick as anything.
Excellent.
Yeah, it works for now, and we're sticking with it. But, imaginative play and dress-ups is everything at our house at the moment.
Excellent. Well, Deborah, tell us a little bit about your blog. We've heard some really good ideas that you've talked about, and I know you've been blogging for a short time, but your blog is packed full of play-based learning activities that we all could know a lot about. So give us the name of your site so that we can go and see, and tell us a little bit about what you do over there.
Okay. Well, I blog over at learnwithplayathome.com. Basically, I just share all the activities that I do with my kids. One is now 12 months, so we've done a bit of baby activities there on that, put that in there. And then the rest is really open-ended stuff. So I like to try and just show parents a way of being able to use the materials and the stuff that they pretty much should have at home or would have at home or could very easily get, and just show them how they can use these and how they can get the most learning out of each activity. That's pretty much it. I have a bit of fuss as well in there. I'm sort of into healthy eating and making food fun, so I have a few suggestions on there that you can go and check out. And, we have a lot of fun. Come and join us on our Facebook page as well.
Brilliant. And what's your Facebook address?
That's facebook.com/learnwithplayathome.
Brilliant. And I see that you've got all your badges up there. So you've got Google Plus and Twitter and Pinterest as well. So if we...
Yeah. Oh, look, we're all over the place.
Come
and say hi.
Today I've been talking to Deborah of learnwithplayathome.com about play dates. Be sure to check out her site as she shares playful information and activities. I'll be right back after this short break.
This is Janae from ICanTeachMyChild.com, and you are listening to Melissa on Raising Playful Thoughts.
Welcome back to the show. I hope you've been inspired to try out a playdate in the coming weeks. How do you feel about playdates? What are your go-to activities or places to go to on your playdate? Why don't you share them with us by leaving some feedback on this post by going to raisingplayfultots.com/119 and scroll down to the comment section, or use the Raising Playful Tots feedback line and leave a free voicemail sharing your thoughts. I'd love to know how you cope with playdates. If you have a reluctant reader, or you're finding it hard to motivate your child to read, I want to share with you a new book that's out this week. In fact, out today. And that's Today is Thursday, the 15th of November. Melissa Taylor is a friend of mine, and funnily enough, we used to live in the same town, but now we're separated by a huge ocean. She's just released a fantastic book based on her experiences as a reading specialist teacher. It's called Book Love, and it's a practical book with activities, strategies, book lists, and ideas for parents to use. I was able to read a copy of the book along with lots of other people, and already I'm going to buy one of the torch flashlight recommendations as a stocking stuffer for the boys this year out of Lego. I just loved all the ideas in that book, and it's a really easy read and really practical. I know that they're actually going to really love the idea of these flashlights. It's on the Kindle right now, and it will be out in paperback soon. It's less than the cost of one of those fancy coffees, so I'd like you to use the link raisingplayfultots.com/booklove to be able to go over to Melissa's site, and you'll be able to find out all about Book Love. I just wanted to give you a heads up about something special that will be happening here next Thursday. That's Thursday the 22nd of November 2012. There won't be a show next week as we're celebrating Thanksgiving together as a family celebrating overseas. However, do come over to Raising Playful Tots, set your calendar, sign up for the newsletter to hear what special thing we've got planned for you. And I absolutely know that you'll love it. It's something that I've been working on in the background with a friend of mine. It's pretty big and it's been going on in the background, and it's been taking up quite a lot of time actually trying to get it all organized. But I know that you'll absolutely love it. So make sure you come back next Thursday. That's Thanksgiving Day, Thursday the 22nd of November. Come over to the site and see what we've got there for you. Lastly, I want to share with you an article, something to get you thinking, something to share with your friends. And the article title is Good Parenting Matters More Than a Good School. And it's from the Telegraph newspaper, and I think you'll enjoy it. Although we focus on the under fives here, what we already know that what we do sets a foundation for the next years and eventually those teen years. The opening statement says this: a study of 10,000 teenagers has found the home environment is 3 times more important than the school when it comes to 18-year-olds' test results. Researchers found that pupils at weaker schools who came from homes where parents were closely involved in their children's education performed better in tests than children at better schools who had apathetic parents. However, they said that the quality of a school still mattered, particularly at secondary stage when children were more liable to be influenced by relationships outside the home. Certainly something to think about, and obviously there's lots more to that article, and I'll leave a link to the full article in the show notes over at 119 so that you can have a read of that and see what you think. That's about it for this episode. Thanks so much for listening to Raising Playful Tots podcast. I would be so grateful if you would rate my podcast on iTunes. That helps tremendously with keeping my podcast visible for people who have never heard of it, and they can discover it too. If you're a fan of Raising Playful Tots and you've listened to more than one show, or perhaps you just listened to this one and you've enjoyed it and you've liked what you've heard, would love it if you could share some of that love by visiting raisingplayfultots.com/love. What this will do is it will pre-populate a tweet in your Twitter feed that will say that you're listening to this podcast and that you like it. If you'd like to comment on the show about playdates, good parenting, or anything else, go to the show notes at raisingplayfultots.com/119 and scroll down to the comments section. You can leave your comments there or your questions. I'd love to hear from you. If you have feedback, go to raisingplayfultots.com/feedback, I'm getting all tongue-tied today, and leave your voicemail there. Voicemail messages are free. You can comment on your last 3 blogs that you've read featuring play, because I'd love to hear from you about that. In fact, Claire from grubbylittlefaces.com shared her 3 for 3 on Facebook this week. She left Junior Magazine, and that article was 5 Rules for Playtime. MediocreMum.com, and her post was My Friday 5 quick game to play with kids. Thinlyspread.co.uk. Easy homemade Christmas wreath and the return of Festive Friday. So they're all really good articles. I've had a look at all three of them, and they give you the first one, the Junior Magazine, is an article that you'll recognise one of the contributors. He came onto the show and did a show with us, so go over there and have a look at that. And the quick games are just cool, something that you'll be able to pick up and use right away. And the last one, you have to see this homemade wreath. It's amazing. I really want to do one, except I know mine won't turn out quite as spectacular as this one looks. So it's well worth a listen. Sorry, well worth a look to go and have a look at that one. So I better get on out of here, because obviously I'm getting far too tongue-tied. You've been listening to Raising Playful Tots, show number 119. Come on over and play next week. Until then, find time for some unplugged play. Join with me each week as we share, learn, and laugh together about making the most of early childhood playtime. Goodbye.